We would first read 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Remind you always. If you'll consider Peter's ministry in both his letters, you would see this one thing that is reminding. When we gather in Sundays, it's the remembrance feast. And Peter is all about reminding. Will you please consider verse 15, sorry, verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And then we have verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Will you please consider 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you up your pure minds by way of reminder. There are other verses also where he says, please do not forget. Words which he would use like, be mindful, be sober. So everywhere he wants to remind. In fact, in chapter 3 verse 1, he says, this is the second epistle in both of which I have stirred up your pure minds to reminder. So in first chapter also, according to Peter, what he was doing was reminding. Today, you know, this is a world who wants something new. They don't mind getting the old one, but in the new package or new paint, new version, all they want is new. Hope you have heard that there is no new news. Have you heard that? There is no new news happening. It's all the old news happening to the new people. You're getting my point? So everything is actually old. But our problem is that we don't remember it in our heart the way we got it. You know, when the Lord teaches me something, this is one thing I pray in response. Oh Lord, what you have taught me today, let it remain in my heart as fresh it is today. The problem is that after some time, the same truth which excited me once, thrilled me once, is not coming up to my mind in the same energy and freshness. That which gave me a kind of new boost, new energy, new thrill, new feeling of conscious sensitivity, all these things, you know, it slowly diminishes with time. When Lord teaches you something, and when you grab, when you really get something into your heart as very important, I think you should do all what you could do to maintain its freshness. What is that we need to do to maintain anything's freshness? The moment you get a fresh fish, what you should do to maintain its freshness?
Salt.
Pardon?
Put salt.
You can put salt. You can keep quiet. Yeah.
Eat.
Not with fish. Eat what it. You want? Like anything else? Vegetable? Not even vegetable. Eat. Nothing to do with cooking. Yeah?
Eating it.
Okay, you got a fresh hot bun. What you would do?
Eat it. Put butter in there.
Eat it. Yeah. To keep it fresh. What I wanted to say is that there is only one common principle in all this. Whatever you want to do, do it then. Do it now. Because after 1 hour, after 2 hours, that freshness is anyway going to go down. Whatever you want to do, put it in the freezer, pack it, or pour it into the flask if it is hot, something hot, even if it's cold. Everything, you have to do it then and there. What I mean to say is that when the Lord teaches you something, and when you got it, you should write it down with all the thoughts you have in your mind. I have heard many who have said, you know, brother, the Lord taught me and it was so good, but I I did not write it down, and today I don't remember most of it. I lost it. You lost what? You lost something what God has taught you. Even in life, when Lord rescues you from certain circumstances, situation, or Lord teaches you through your circumstances, life, that would be a wonderful lesson which you learn. God is faithful. Or, you know, the times which you doubted and God really intervened and helped you out. And that helped your faith those days. You should write it down. That's a lesson of faith in your life. If you don't write it down, how many such instances you will be able to remember now? Problem is that when the waves come, we don't remember all those things. But if we have it 1, 2, 3, and 4, we will be able to bring these truths back and can be presented in front of our own minds. Come on, George Matthew, settle down. You have tasted the Lord. You know He is faithful. Why can't you take one step without panic? Give Him one chance. The honor of trusting. You know, what do you mean by trust? I trust you, but I'm so afraid. No, that's not trust. You know? I trust you, but I'm curious. I'm anxious. No, that's not trust. Huh? I trust you, but I will keep calling you, you know. That's not trust. Do we have one such event which is logically not possible, yet by faith we were at ease? And God would look at that man and say, well, that's something. You know, we will never fail because He is the finisher of faith. But the problem is that how did we pass the process of going through? That's important. And that's where the reminding comes. You know, once the Lord told to the apostles, don't forget to keep the leaven of the Pharisees and, you know, the Jews. So suddenly, it was the leavened bread. And then suddenly the apostles thought, oh, we forgot to take the breads, and that's why now we have to carry the, you know, old stuff. Suddenly the Lord turned back and said, why can't you understand what I'm saying? And then he asked a question. When we fed 5,000, how many baskets we got as, you know, balance? Yeah.
12.
And then suddenly he asked the next question. When I fed 4,000, how many we got?
Seven.
What was the answers of the apostles? Was it right or wrong? Disciples. When the Lord asked this question, and he was actually sailing, they were in a boat, and the Lord asked this question, and what was the answers of the disciples? Was it right or wrong? Brother, we just finished one cue, now you have brought the second one. Is it like that? Yeah.
Answer of the second question.
I mean, the question is this. When the Lord asked these questions, your answers were correct, 12 and 7. Were these the same answers the disciples gave?
Yeah, it was the same.
What? Elvis is saying it was the same. It was the same. They gave the right answers. And then the Lord gave them the report. It was not 5, 10, 25. But He said, still, why can't you understand? What? We gave you the right answer. Now, what else we need to understand? What else do you need to understand? Every time the Lord was doing a miracle, His expectation, His lesson was not the miracle. It was the message in the miracle. And the message was the messenger. It was the person of Jesus Christ. Hope, now you know. See, I fed 5,000. 12 baskets are remaining. Hope, now you know who I am. Maybe they did not understand it properly. Let me feed 4,000 more and make them sure. How many baskets are there? 7. Hope you know now who I am. That's what they did not understand. You know, at times we are very good in Bible, but not with the God of Bible. Every time Bible teaches about Him, not history, not numbers, not all those difficult to find out conclusions and solutions and answers. He is the answer. I am the way, the life, and the truth. I am the answer. I am the bread, I am the light, I am the good shepherd, I am the door. You name it, whatever you want, I am. He is the answer. Yes? So the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Any kind of trouble. So Peter is saying, remember, and Peter can say that because Peter understood if there was one problem with him, it was all about remembering. The Lord told how I don't know, I have no clue how many times that I would die and I would resurrect. But on the day of resurrection, not even one disciple could remember that he said that. Not even Mary Magdalene, who visited the tomb. She went with the ointments and all those balm to, you know, double apply upon him. And one more thing came into my mind. Yeah, only one group remembered what he told about resurrection. Who was that?
The Pharisees.
Yeah, the high priests and the priestly group. They said, that deceiver, before he died, he said something. You know? The disciples did not remember what the loving lover of their soul said, but these Pharisees and priests, they remembered what the deceiver said. It often happens like that. Our loving ones, how much they care us and love us, we don't remember those. But if one of them would say anything negative about us, we will never forget, even if we will forgive. You know, some people say, brother, I forgive, but I'll never forget. Remember, it's all about negative things. Would you start a diary? Whenever you find God in your life, as God intervened, God answered, God gave you the, you know, that click, I got it. Write it down. You will find how 1,000 times He has fed 5,000 and 4,000 for you. And every time He was expecting, now my son will surely know who I am. When Leah would deliver son after son, children after children for Jacob, every time, you know what Leah would think? Now my husband would love me. You know? Every time when she would be in pain and labor, and out of that exhausted body, that one pulse was beating for her husband. My husband will love me now. Every time the God of our soul delivers Himself into our heart, that who He is, all He wants is that my child will now know who I am. Today the Lord has no freedom to do whatever He wants to do in our life, because we all of a sudden doubt Him. We are afraid of Him. We don't trust Him. We are afraid when I submit, and if I submit everything, and if God will ask me something terrible, you know, just think a small, I forgot your name, sorry.
Timothy
is saying, let me say to my father, Father, anything you say, I will do. And suddenly Timothy thinks, if my father would say, jump from second floor, what will I do? Yeah, because I am going to say what? Anything you say, I will do. But you should also know He is my father. He will never say me to jump from second floor. But we have that doubt about God. Would we ever say to God, God, you do whatever you want to do with my child? Or would you say, you do anything with my health? God, you can do anything, but not with my health. With my skin, for girls, you know, with my face, Are you ready to give it to God? If God would bring all pimples, or what to say, chicken pox? There is something even dangerous than chicken pox. It will never go from your face. What is that, brother?
Acne.
Yeah?
Acne.
Small pox.
Small pox, chicken pox. This is some big elephant pox. You know, in India we have that. I don't know in India what we say. It makes big holes which will never go. It's like acne. What kind of crater?
Acne.
Pardon?
Acne.
Acne?
A-C-N-I.
A-C-N-I, okay.
N-E.
Okay, leave it anyway. What I mean to say is that, can you give it up to God? You know, for the youths I was saying, God gave us up. And when God gave us up, we fell into our debased mind, to our original person. You know, the original sinful man came out when God gave up. Fine? But God said the other thing next day morning to me. Son, just think, instead of I giving you up, why can't you give me up? Means allowing me to do what I wanted to do. When I allowed you to do what you wanted to do, this is what happened. Now allow me. That means you are stopping me. I was stopping you from sin, and you are stopping me from doing what I wanted to do. Give me up one day, and then I will manifest what will come up. That's what the Lord told to me. You fell into your debased mind, and I will take you, carry you to that high mind. Oh Lord, thy thoughts are so lofty that I cannot comprehend. My ways are above your ways, so you will be carried to those ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts, and it is so high from earth to heaven as it is separated, is my thoughts. He will take and carry me and my life and my career, and all his plans will be executed in me. But I won't trust him. I won't give him up. I will always control him. And then this Lord reminded me, you know what is self-control? Self-control, we always think it is controlling about ourselves. It is true, but self-control is not controlling God. Self-control is control yourself so that you may allow God to do what he wants to do. In love, keep quiet, shut your mouth. Wait and see that the Lord is good. What? You won't wait. You have no control. You jump into God's way and stop him. And say, oh Lord, are you not worried? See, I am drowning into the water, said Peter. Now, Peter was not saying we are going to perish. He said, are you not worried that we are perishing? And when we have our projects, our assignments, our sickness, our fever, our flu, our mortgage problems, our promotion problems, our not getting jobs, our falling hair, or whatever. I just want to bring all your situations in. And sometimes the way we pray to God, is this: are you not worried? Are you not concerned? You know, why can't you at least think my problems is his problems? And that's why, you know, when Isaac asked Abraham, Father, there is knife and fire and wood. Where is the lamb? And then Abraham would answer. What is the answer of Abraham?
God will provide.
God will provide himself a lamb. Why? I mean, would you answer like this? We will say, God will provide. God will provide us a lamb. But Abraham said, God will provide a lamb for? Himself. What is the meaning for that? It is his problem. My problems are his problems. You know, when we pray, is it my problem and God's problem? At least, Lord, we have a problem. Maybe Peter can come to the Lord saying like that, God, Jesus Christ, will you please wake up? You know, we are in problem. You know? And the problem is, actually, we are sinking. And we are so excited to have you in the boat, because now we know you are going to manifest. You are going to, this is the moment of revelation. And yes, Lord, we are waiting. And the Lord caught up and said, glad that you all are waiting. And you all are waiting for my manifestation. And here it is. Watch. Be calm. And the wind was calm. The sea was so calm that calmness brought fear into the disciples. Are you getting the point? This is too calm. You know, when you go to a place, if there is normal things and all, you are okay. If it is full calm, nothing, no sound, no air, nothing, then you are so afraid, because you are listening to what? Your pulse, your heartbeat, bum, bum, bum. Yeah? Sometimes we get afraid when we listen to this clock ticking. Right? Because when everything is silent, clock is loud. Have you ever given God a proper attention to see? See, you know, when he manifests, he intervenes. He intervenes when it is all noisy because of your anxiety. You're praying, you're going there, going here, to the doctor, to the medicine, to the projects, to the that person, this person, complaining to daddy, mommy, friends, angry with everybody, frustrated, and in between God acts, he hardly gets any attention. You see not even the quarter of his work in your life. And even that quarter, you don't register in your diary. And we hardly learn any lessons. After all the messages we listen, we don't get the person of God. And do you think I get? How do I learn these lessons? Because that's what I am. And Peter is saying we need to remember. Remember his works when I was in the boat. Remember his works when I am now in the water, drowning. Remember his works when I leave everything what he has done and go again for fishing. Remember his call, I will make you fishers of men. Remember he told that I will resurrect. Oh, if Peter would remember. But then when the Lord went, he remembered all. You see, sometimes we remember our loved ones all when we are alone. You know, I fall in love with my wife the most when I leave her. When I'm with her, it's not that much. I'm sorry. And when I leave her, oh, I wish I could help her. I could be more caring, loving. You know, all the words which I want to say to her comes to my mind when I'm in the train and when I'm in the plane. Even to my children. But when I am close, I am not the same person. It happens with you? Oh, good, thank you. I thought I was. It's me. I thought, oh, it's all with us. You know, children, you know, to a person was going for hotel management, and I said, before you go for hotel management, make sure you help your mummy and your daddy and then go. Because once you go into this hotel management and into the hotel, those rich people who would come for having food, they won't even care who you are. All the water, all the swiping, all the service you give to them, they won't even look at your face. Some may notice your name just to complain or to, you know, do that formality thing. None of them will, and at the last they may give you some tip. And tip is a tip. What do you mean by tip? Tip has two meanings. What?
Huh?
Yeah, tip. You know, I will give you a tip. It can be a point. Tip means, you know, 1 point. Tip can be some money. And tip, the end of it. Okay? It's all the last point. That's what you are. But think you give a glass of water to your mummy with all the honor you would give to a guest in the hotel or in the restaurant. Your mummy will be shocked with that much kind of, what? Like to have some more water, mummy? What? Yeah? Have you ever, children, have you ever tried those things? I would suggest, not only when you are in love and all, everything is peace, when your father is angry, go hug him and give him a good kiss. Have you ever tried that? I have tried. And when my father understood, because when I preached, he understood, this is my technique. And one day he was red hot angry and I was about to go and kiss him. And you know what he said? I don't want your kiss. And I kissed him. I said, I know you want. Do we believe in that God? Bible says, in love, there is no fear. But we are afraid of our God, thinking we need to be careful when we submit to God, otherwise God will abuse us. God will use us. You know, we have this aquarium thing, and every day we put that, food? Eh? And sometimes we have to wash the whole aquarium, that thing, and and fishes run around. And if they have a meeting like this, they would say, oh, I just escaped from that hands, you see. Come on, man, I brought you, I'm giving you oxygen, I'm maintaining the salt and the chlorine of the water, and giving you food every day, and checking with it, and lighting, and all those stuff. And these fishes, they run away from me thinking, what? I just escaped. I was so good in, I took the left and then I took the right, and I cheated my master. We are all very smart than God, and God looks at us and say, give him some more oxygen, he will die. You see? So remember. So here when Peter says remember, why do we say? He's saying, I want to stir. That means all what I wanted to say is actually in the glass. What I have to do is only stir. That means bring those things which you have already learned where? From the bottom to the surface. That is stirring. Did you notice that word stir? Verse 13. Will you please read for me?
Yeah, I think it may, as long as I am in this tabernacle, stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
Yeah, to stir you up, to remind you. You know, sometimes when husband and wife, they quarrel, all the good things they, of course, forget. And all the bad things are stirred up, and they will bring it. On that honeymoon day, you said to me such and such things. Am I right, brothers? Half of you will not know. Yeah? Yeah? We stir up things. In the same way, here Peter is saying, I have to stir up. Now, why Peter is feeling like that? Why if Peter is feeling, I should remind, at least four times the word remembrance and remind us. Why Peter is feeling like that? Because Peter could see believers moving around, forgetting everything. Peter could see that, and Peter feels that I should remind. And he feels a bit bad, but still he instructs himself, no, I am doing right. He's checking whether I am doing right or wrong. And then he says, no, I'm doing right. Let me remind again. See, that is a sense given. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind. That means if I don't remind you, I am what?
Negligent.
I'm sorry, in between my English gets very fast. You can control me. Self-control. Yeah. Negligent. To remind you always these things. That means I'm always doing it. I'm aware I'm doing always, but I'm also aware what I'm doing is not wrong. I should remind you. Sometimes parents remind you and children get a bit, okay, mama, you already told three times. And then once more she will remind, and that's it, fourth time. You got it? Yeah? So, mama is actually aware of it, but out of love. And the way you move around, she feels, I think she has already forgotten. Let me remind them once more. You know, that is the feeling Peter is getting. So what Peter is saying, yes, I think it is right. Yes, I think it is right. That means that thought came to me, came to him. Am I right? By reminding them this much. Am I doing it? Sorry, too much? So he said, yes, I think it is right. As long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. As long as I am in this tent, that means you will have to tolerate. You see, till I die, I will be doing this. As long as I am in this tent means what?
Body.
His body. So Peter is saying, you know, please don't expect in the near future to stop. I will be doing it continually. It is so important. And then what he says about remember, verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Oh, that means not only I will remind you when I am in the tent, but before I leave the tent, I will make some system, some sort of software, some sort of work in such a way, even if I go, what will happen? All what I reminded you will keep popping up. That means, even if you will get rid of me, you will not get rid of my reminding. And today, after 2,000 years, Peter is doing the same in Bexley Assembly here. Is he not reminding us? Oh. That was, yeah? So he says, I remind you and I will remind you even if I will go after my decease. That's what he says. Now, what was his problem? There are many problems over here, but primarily there is one problem. Primarily there is one problem which Peter wanted to remind. Don't you know that the Lord is going to come? The Lord is going to come. Or in other words, what he wants to say is that why you got saved? You got saved to be with him. So the joy of salvation is that one day you can be with him. The aim of salvation is not to be saved and to remain here. To be saved and enjoy salvation. No, no, no. The salvation is to be with him. That's the end of salvation. That is the aim, goal of salvation. What is the goal of marriage? To be with the person whom we are getting married. The aim is not that, you know, every time people all ask me my what is a marital status. I know every time I have to write single, single, single. One day I want to write double. Isn't that? That's not the aim. What's the aim? To have a partner and to be with him. You know, here, I don't know, you may not have that problem, but in Guelph they have this problem, what they call as family visa. Everybody cannot have family visa. If you have a certain amount of, if you have salary above a certain amount, then only you can have family visa. Otherwise, you cannot bring your wife. Okay, so when marriage proposals are given, normally this question pops up. What is it? Does the boy have, family visa? Why you want to know about family visa? All we want is to marry, right? Get married and forget about family visa. Is it like that? No. If the girl cannot go to the workplace of the boy, and the girl has to stay back in Kerala, the boy will work in UAE, then we don't prefer that kind of marriage. Right? So what's the aim? What's the aim of marriage? To be together. When the Lord saved you, what's your aim? Lord, you betrothed me, you got engaged with me, promising that you will marry me. But when are you coming back? That's the aim. But does that really bother us at all? His coming? We are so busy in this world, engrossed in this world. And the way we study, the way we work, the way we earn, the way we think, the way we decide and discipline ourselves, Peter says, hey man, you're engaged to somebody and you're so engrossed in this world that you behave as if you are not really married at all. I mean, not engaged. Are you getting the point? That's the feeling Peter got. So Peter is saying, you have begun a long journey, but the way you behave is like you have started your journey just to go up to the market, you know, a small journey. Think that I'm coming this side and I have only one glass of water and Bible. Nobody will question me because I'm coming here for worship, for assembly meeting, and I'll be going back. Think that I'm going to India or I'm coming from India and all I have is one bottle of water and one Bible. What do you say? Where are you going? I'm going to Australia. What? Where is your luggage? Nothing. This is enough. Isn't that? Are you getting the point? So that's what Peter is saying. Hey, where's your luggage? When you receive Jesus Christ, you have set for a long journey. He will go and he will come. So you're setting up your mind. You see, when I would sit in his Uncle James' vehicle, I would ask him, how far is the assembly? He would say, we'll reach there within 20-25 minutes. So my calculation, my mindset is for 25 minutes. But once I get into the plane from India to Australia, my mindset is for 14 hours. And if I don't reach within 30 minutes, within 1 hour, I get frustrated inside the Jeep. But I would get frustrated in the plane only if I cross 13 and 14 hours. How come the same person gets frustrated with 1 hour and the same person can get frustrated only after 14 hours? It's the mindset. I know this is a long journey. So mindset is such. But Peter is saying, you have come with a bottle and for everything you are complaining. Come on, man, you have gone for a long journey. You are going to heaven. I want to give you that tune, you know. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, all the luggage which you need to carry, okay? Don't, on your traveler's tips, somebody say, no? All what you need to carry. So let's look from chapter 1, verse 5. 5 onwards. Can anybody please read it?
And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
Add, it's all adding. Begins with faith. Our first step of spiritual journey begins with faith. So all you have to add is to faith. So I would say we have something called faith books in faith box in India. Have you heard faith box here? Do you have faith box? You don't have?
Oh, we have faith box. You don't have faith box.
It is like if you come for the camp and all, we won't ask money from the attendees, those who are attending, because there are many poor people who will not be able to afford the camp fees. So we would say 1,500 rupees is the fees, but we won't take it from anybody. Those who want to put can put in the faith box. So those who are poor may not put, those who are rich, they may put, things like that. So he says, here you have the box, that means your suitcase is of faith. So don't forget to take all your brush and toothpaste and all the stuff inside this box. What are the brush, toothpaste and dress and all those things in the Peter's box of faith? Yeah, read. Add to your faith.
Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity.
And then it is love, actually. Okay, don't put charity into the box. Okay, verse 8.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, verse 9.
But he that lacketh these things,
he who has not taken these things in the box of faith, he who lacks these things, yeah,
is blind. And cannot see afar off.
And cannot see afar off means you are traveling 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers. You are not traveling thousands of kilometers. You are short-sighted. And you are so short-sighted, if I will ask you, can you see heaven? It's like you are blind. You have no clue. If Peter would look at your life, the priority you are giving day-to-day basis for the going to that eternity, and at the same time doing your day-to-day things, would Peter once more feel like, oh, I think I should write 3 Peter to just remind you? Why I'm saying that? The Lord can come anytime. And most of you are studying. Yesterday I was asking brother, he is doing a civil engineering, and he said, brother, it's very tough. And I'm sure he has a lot of things to study, but the Lord is going to come. Just think, he's so focused in his study. And he could not, I'm just giving you an example. He could not do his morning quiet time. He is not able to attend meetings and not the worship, because the exam is so important. It's very difficult. And he wrote, he studied, he was so committed, and at last the progress report came. And I forgot your name.
Joseph.
Joseph. First rank! Australia, first rank in civil engineering! And the trumpet blows and the Lord comes and we are gone. Joseph has also gone. Joseph, while in the air, traveling towards heaven and to meet the Lord, he will look back his rank and look back his spiritual, what to say, account, and he will find this time here it's full, but there it is empty. Will he be happy with that first rank in heaven? But think on the other way around. I have a lot of things to do, but I have to know one thing, that I am engaged with him. Anytime he would come, this account should be full. At the same time, I should meet my responsibilities. I will have to study, but I cannot forget my quiet time. I will have to study, but my Lord is more important. Priority. My morning time is the first fruit of time, which I could give to God. All is my God. Anytime he comes, I don't want to be a fool. And this is one prayer which I make to God. Oh God, when you come, you may not call me fool, but when I look back to my life, I should not be a fool. Just think, all your studies and you got the job. And on the 31st day, before receiving your payment, the Lord comes. Think that all your money you put into the stock and fixed deposit and real estate, and it's going to give you big harvest and big, return, and the Lord returned. You know what is the greatest advice of financial advices? You know it. Never invest all your eggs, come on, rest.
In one basket.
Oh, you know that. In one basket. What does that mean? Anything can happen to this one basket. Keep all your eggs in different baskets, so that one falls, you can have the other. Okay? So these eggs which you invest here and there, is it in different baskets or all in your studies, all in your job, all in your real estate, all in your mortgage, all in your children, husband? Does really the scripture recommends workaholic perfection? We have workaholic people. Like they will work in the dream also, they will work. Workaholic. There are some perfectionists. You need to be committed, but you cannot be more committed than you are to God. What is wrong in drinking water like this and drinking water like this? I want to drink water like this. I want to drink water like this. What's wrong? Both the same. But in Gideon's time, God said, bring the 10,000 left. 12,000 which is left. No, 10,000. 10,000 which was left, let them drink water from the river. And those who drink with their tongue like a dog licking, separate them, and those who put their face into the water, commitment, workaholic, indulged, immersed into the work. Some women, they are clean, kitchen. 24 hours they are clean in the kitchen.
And you will not have, they will not allow you to breathe also. Don't breathe, you become clean. Everything has its place. You know, that 50 feet is supposed to be in this latitude and that longitude. I need everything for mom. And every husband, wife, everybody is like this. And we see that only 300 drank water like that. Water is a very important, necessary thing. You need water. But how much? You don't have to put all your body into the water and then drink. I used to say to my children, children, you will not eat more than 2 chapatis. And Papa can also afford 5 chapatis. I mean, being an evangelist, Papa can afford 5 chapatis for you. You don't have to study that much where you forget your quiet time. You don't have to work for your promotion so much that because of the fear of not getting or something happening to your promotion, you would never share the gospel. Papa would be the first to receive you from school if you are dismissed from school because you gave gospel. Nothing is important as God is. Who is there who would exalt him without thinking of his own image? What others will think? How they will laugh at me? Will I not be characterized as primitive and narrow-minded? Should I not be smart and appreciated by everyone? You know, the temptation came to me. One person, I just joined a new school inside Navy where we would teach signal communication skills for signals, in the sense like did-did-da-da, you know, this Morse code and all. Okay, so that's the thing. So that's a school where I joined. So one person came to me, oh, you are a Christian, oh, you are a brother, and you are a such and such person. You know, there was another Pentecostal fellow in this office. He just left us. So gentle. He's so religious, but never would he say about God to us. So gentle, so good. There are some people, you know, they always chase us saying, gospel, you will die, go to hell and heaven and all. This man was really gentle. And then what's the temptation which will come to me? For if I will share gospel, he will think I am not gentle. That was the temptation, right? And I shared gospel and said, you are not like that gentleman. You're a shameless creature. You're saying about gospel to me. These are techniques of Satan, you know? And we want to be smart and among those unbelievers. The Lord says, if you are ashamed before dashed generation, then I will be ashamed before the angels. What generation is it? If you are ashamed about me before dashed generation, what is that? Fulfill the blanks. Huh? No.
Evil.
Pardon?
Evil.
Evil. Evil is fine, but the proper word.
Wicked.
Pardon?
Wicked.
Godless.
Huh?
Godless. Godless. You know, the word God uses is this. If you are ashamed in front of this adulterous generation, they are so unholy. Adulterous generation. You are ashamed about me in front of adulterous generation. I mean, it doesn't make any logic. How come you are ashamed? What have I done? How come you are ashamed about me in front of this adulterous generation? God says, I cannot equal it. You know, the way you do, I cannot do it. Because all I could do is that I can be ashamed in front of angels. But you are ashamed. You yourself as a sinner. You were one among them. I plucked you out of them. And you are ashamed of me. The one who knew no sin, did no sin. So Peter says, I think I am right by reminding you. I think I should ensure that
These things will be reminded to you even after my decease. I think this is the same I did in the first epistle and in the second epistle. And all I want to say is that be mindful, don't be like me. That's what Peter is saying, don't be like me. You know, because I did not remember certain things. The Lord told me I will deny him 3 times. Lord told me I cannot follow him, but I did follow. And then I made all the mess. Please remember, let the Lord's name be glorified.